We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Folks, Mike Golic is back for another dose of Three and Out. And Mike, I know you're in the desert. You're not on vacation. You're just, you know, you're living your best life. But man, your alma mater for the first time in 12 years is looking for a head coach. I would love for you to take me behind the scenes as to how you found out what you were doing when you got the word that Brian Kelly was headed to the Bayou, my friend.
Well, I mean, listen, I found out like everybody else found out. I found out on Twitter. And The shame of it is I believe most of the people who found out at Notre Dame found out the same way. I know Brian was on a recruiting trip with a couple of coaches, and they were the first ones to know when they were coming back from the recruiting trip that Brian was going to go, and then it just kind of went from there. I'm sure from the LSU side they got it out there. But so everybody was kind of stunned from me to, but forgetting me to the, you know, the people on campus, you know, the administrators, the other coaches, the players, nobody saw it coming. It was incredibly hush hush, it seems. And so it was a bit of shock to everybody. And now for the first time you have Notre Dame losing a coach by choice. You know, you normally people go to Notre Dame and that's they stay there until they get fired or retire. You know, now Brian chose to go somewhere else. And listen, it's his choice. You know, I mean, this is college football. Lincoln Riley did the same thing. It happens every year. You know, coaches are under contract and they leave. It just seemed a little stunning because coaches at Notre Dame don't normally do that for a different job. But Brian did. I'm sure part of it was money. Because Notre Dame wasn't paying him $9.5 million like the deal in LSU probably will. And I think he believes he'll have a more consistent shot at a national title each year with LSU because that's really the only thing off of Brian Kelly's resume right now.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
So there's two avenues I would like to get your, you know, opinion on. One, how do you think it's going to go with Brian Kelly in Baton Rouge? I mean, just culturally, like, you know the guy because of the decade plus he spent in South Bend. You've been around him. Your son's played for him. So can you just talk a little bit about what you think that's going to look like, how that's going to go? And then part two, you got a coaching vacancy at your alma mater. If you're Jack Swarbrick, who are you calling? Who do you want?
Well, the first part of that question will be interesting because, you know, Brian's certainly not from the South and hasn't coached in the South. Now, again, what difference that makes, I don't know. He's been successful as a coach. We know the key here is recruiting. He's got to be able to recruit that area. And, you know, he has some obviously heavy hitters out there with other SEC teams, including, you know, Georgia and Alabama, where he's got to pull talent. You know, but Georgia, Alabama, they pull from the South. Obviously, Florida is very big and other places in the South, but they're also national as well. They're pulling from all over the country, and that's what Notre Dame is. You know, Notre Dame does a lot Midwest, obviously, but they do a lot nationally, California, Texas, Florida. So, you know, Brian's used to doing it nationally, but he's going to have to get into the local area too, the local high schools as well to keep that the bloodline of recruits going. And the other thing is, it's not just 18-year-olds anymore. You know, it's transfers.
Yeah.
You know, there are guys in the transfer portal all the time. One of the bigger names, a guy we talked about at the beginning of the year, possible Heisman, Spencer Rattler in Oklahoma. Well, not only is their coach gone, but he got benched during the season and he went in the transfer portal. So it's a different ball game. So, you know, good coaches can usually overcome anything. We'll see. But it's a new area for him to coach and have to get used to. A lot may have to do with the people he gets around him. You know, he tried to get one of the strength coach, I believe it was at Notre Dame. He didn't want to go. I'm sure he's going to try and get Marcus Freeman and Tommy Reese, the offensive coordinator, Marcus Freeman, the D coordinator. We'll see if he's able to pull any of coaches from Notre Dame down there for a little continuity. If not, you know, all coaches have their list. If they don't get their first choice, they'll go to the next choices. But obviously it remains to be seen how he'll do, but it's certainly a different area of the country for him to be coaching in.
Yeah. Yeah, you sound skeptical, Mike. Like, you sound like you're like, nah, I need to see it. Like, I just don't know how this is going to go.
Listen, I mean, it doesn't matter where you go. I mean, you know, we could all say, LSU is a great place to coach. You're going to get great talent there, no doubt about it. USC is a great place to coach. Lincoln Riley can get great talent there. But you never know. I mean, you just don't. I don't know how much knowing that area, being from there, or maybe having people on your staff from there is going to help. Like I said, LSU, while it's in, you know, it's in Louisiana, it's a southern team, you know, they still pull national products. But if you go and look at their roster, the majority are going to be from the area down there. So, yeah, there is a bit of acclimation that Brian Kelly is going to have to get that says, you know, why should I go to you and not some of the other SEC schools, you know, that have had a presence down here and the coaches that have had a presence down here? You know, what makes you different? Brian's going to have to really, you know, put on the recruiting hat and prove himself down there.
So part two of that question, you know, if you're the athletic director at Notre Dame, if you're Jack Swarbrick, is it a slam dunk that you call Marcus Freeman, who's already on the staff? Do you go the Luke Fickell route? What do you think here, Mike?
Well, I mean, you know, everybody keeps saying Marcus Freeman, which I understand. I think he's a heck of a coach. But, you know, if you're going to sit there and go from within, he's only 3 years older than Tommy Reese.
Yeah.
Tommy Reese has done a hell of a job being the offensive coordinator there. Tommy Reese is a Notre Dame guy as well. So if you're looking at Marcus Freeman, who's never been a head coach and runs an excellent defense, why not look at Tommy Reese, who runs a hell of an offense and is a Notre Dame a guy as well, if you're looking to hire from within? So I would put both of those names there. Now, you also have to try and hopefully have them not go to LSU. Now, if you offer one of them the head coaching job, that could stop it. But if you don't, then you're hiring a new head coach, and he may get different coordinators anyway. You know, a new offensive or a new coach coming in is usually going to want to bring his own staff. So hiring from within, I know people are saying Marcus, but like I said, why not Tommy Rees? You know, why not him as a thought if you're going to hire from within? I could see that. As far as hiring outside, yeah, Luke Fickle, I think, is certainly the name. Matt Campbell is a name. These young, really good coaches, you know, what Matt's done at Iowa State and certainly what Luke is doing at Cincinnati. You know, everybody talks about Luke maybe wanting the Notre Dame job or Ohio State job. Well, timing is everything. Notre Dame is open. Ohio State's not. Now, Ryan Day is probably going to get some overtures from NFL teams, but that's not going to happen for a little while. And Notre Dame job is open now. So, and Jack Swarbrick, the AD, has said they're not using a search firm. He is the search firm. So, you know, we'll see what direction he wants to go. Does he want to go to an, you know, an older, more established coach? Or does he want to go, you know, with a coordinator from within or a coordinator somewhere that, or somewhere else, or a young, successful coach like a Luke Fickle or a Matt Campbell? I would think it would be more along the Luke Fickle lines that they're probably going to look at. But what a situation that is. Cincinnati right now is going to be in the Final Four.
Yeah.
You know, and while Brian Kelly is gone, he's not going to be around coaching. If Notre Dame gets into the playoffs, if they, you know, backdoor it in, or a New Year's Six Bowl, Brian's not going to be around there. How interesting it would be if Notre Dame hired Luke Fickle away and then he wasn't there, or you had him coach. I remember back when UCF had a great year, but they still didn't go into the playoffs and they play Auburn in the bowl game. Scott Frost hung around and coached that game before he left. So it's very interesting. You know, I think for Notre Dame, if they're not going to hire from within right now, a Tommy Rees or Marcus Freeman, I know Jack Swarbrick talked about maybe not doing an interim coach, whether it's for the playoffs or a bowl game. I would, and I would do Brian Polian. Brian Polian is right there on the staff. He's a special teams coordinator. He was a head coach at Nevada for a while. This is his second stint at Notre Dame. He knows Notre Dame really well. That way you let Marcus Freeman still concentrate on the defense, Tommy Rees still concentrate on the offense, and Brian, as he's been a head coach before, can get them through this time right now and let Jack Swarbrick take his time if he wants to find a coach, though I'd imagine he'd want to find one sooner or later. So I would say if he wasn't going to hire from within, I would just put Brian Polian in charge for the practices and the bowl games that are coming up.
Yeah, it is fascinating. And again, I mean, as you well know, Mike, this isn't an 8-4 Notre Dame team. I mean, this is a team that is sitting, you know, maybe in you know, I mean, are they in the catbird seat? No, they're not number five, but man, they're number six, and they're not playing on Saturday, and there could be chaos with the teams above them. You just never know. So it is a bizarre set of circumstances for sure that Notre Dame finds themselves in here the week of championship games. So let's pivot. Let's talk about some of these games on the field, Mike. You fired up for these? Like what is at the top of the list for you as we go into this weekend?
Well, I think definitely it's going to be Georgia and Alabama. Now, Kate and I did Alabama-Arkansas when Arkansas put some points on them
and made it a bit of a
game toward the end. And then Auburn certainly held Alabama to a low-scoring game until Alabama pulled that one out in overtime. And we've seen Alabama give up 41 points in their loss to Texas A&M. So that to me is going to be, you know, the Georgia offense is not like a, you know, high flying boy just score at will offense. They have a really good offense to great offense at times. The defense is outstanding. I just expect that's what I'm looking for. This Georgia defense against this Alabama offense and just how stifling it can be against this offense. And I think it can be. This is one of the great defenses I've seen in a long time. But you're looking at the outcome of this game. If Alabama pulls it off, then two spots are going to be taken up in the Final Four, right? It's going to be Georgia. They're going to be in. And Alabama will be in because they beat Georgia. So that's what a lot of teams are looking at because you'll have two right there. And then you'll have three others if Michigan beats Iowa, if Cincinnati beats Houston, and if Oklahoma State beats Baylor. Remember, Oklahoma State will have won two top 10 games in 2 weeks. So that's five teams for four spots if Alabama were to win. So someone's going to be on the outside looking in if those teams all win. I think that will be interesting because then it falls squarely in the lap of the 13-person committee on who you're leaving out. Who are you going to leave out of that one? So that to me, and listen, it can all happen. But listen, I think Houston's going to give Cincinnati a heck of a run. And Kate and I did the first iteration of the Baylor-Oklahoma State game that Oklahoma State won in Stillwater. So let's see what happens the second time around. Baylor is certainly capable of winning that game. So, but I guess that would be the case scenario to wonder who's going to get in. If Alabama wins, if Houston wins, or Alabama wins, Cincinnati wins, and Oklahoma State wins, who is going to be left out, you know, right, of the 5-4 that would be there? And then there's Notre Dame sitting right there, you know, if Cincinnati loses to Houston.
Right.
You know, and Oklahoma State loses to Baylor, you know, and they drop out. Notre Dame can slide into that thing. And especially then if Georgia beats Alabama. Alabama, I don't think that two-loss team is getting in. I think they're going to be out. So certainly a lot of different scenarios that can play out. But if you're asking me the one game, I'm obviously looking at a heavyweight match of Georgia and Alabama.
Yeah, you know, I don't think Alabama's been an underdog in something like 93 games, 93 straight football games. It's something crazy like that. They're a 6.5-point underdog against Georgia. So, I mean, it is uncharted territory for really both of those programs, Georgia being, you know, the one that's expected to win against an Alabama team that's really kind of owned them the last couple of years. Mike, that game kicks at 4 o'clock. Cincinnati-Houston kicks right alongside the SEC championship game. You mentioned the Houston team that lost week one to Texas Tech. Since then, they've just gone out and won 11 straight. Okay, they're one of the hottest teams in the country. It's going to be, it could be a bizarre scene or a scenario potentially when you get late in those games. Say Alabama pulls the upset on Georgia. Cincinnati could be sitting there, you know, celebrating an AAC championship, an undefeated 13-0 season, but based on how the results of the other games play out,
right,
you may be watching that knowing you're not going. Like, if Oklahoma State beats Baylor, if Alabama upsets Georgia, unless Michigan loses to Iowa, I mean, most people think that Cincinnati's going to get left in that scenario and be left out, to your earlier point about the 5-4.
There's a reason that Cincinnati, the committee, put them at number 4, right?
Yeah,
for the possibility of getting jumped. And listen, I could see the committee saying, look what Oklahoma State has done, especially in the last couple of weeks. This committee put Oklahoma last week in the top 10. Oklahoma State beat him. This committee this week put Baylor in the top 10. If Oklahoma State beats them, yeah, it may not. And you're right, if then Georgia or if Alabama then wins, I think I very easily Cincinnati could be on the outside looking in, given what Oklahoma State had done in the last 2 weeks. And you can't tell me style points don't matter, especially if Oklahoma State rolls Baylor. You know, I the way Michigan played against Ohio State, I highly favor Michigan against Iowa. Iowa's defense is not all that great, and Michigan's defense is just playing so well right now. Now, that being said, I thought Ohio State was going to win by double digits against Michigan, so take that with a grain of salt. But you're right. You're right. If Cincinnati watches Alabama beat Georgia, they could be swallowing hard there about saying, uh-oh, we may get left out of this whole thing. That's why there's going to be a whole lot of Georgia fans out there for other teams, hoping Georgia wins and just takes care of that and knocks Alabama out.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I can't remember a championship weekend where there's this much of you know, there's so many potentially different outcomes based on how things go. Big 12 playing at noon. Then you've got SEC and AAC going off against each other at 4 o'clock. And then the Big Ten championship. I mean, I don't think many people are giving Iowa a chance. They're like a 10-point underdog against Michigan. But what if, right? I mean, what if the Hawkeyes were to stun the Wolverines? Now you've got a team like Notre Dame sitting there at 6 who doesn't have to play anybody on Saturday. Things could get really, really weird and really, really interesting. Mike, who do you feel best about? Is it Georgia? Like, are you most confident that the Dogs, not that they're going to go to the playoff, but really beyond that? I mean, I think Georgia's a lock regardless of what happens Saturday, but is that the team that you're looking at? And you're
I don't know who's beating them because of that defense. Yeah. I really don't. Listen, we've seen Ohio State with the high-flying offense that Michigan just knocked down with a heck of a defense, and they're going to be out of it now. So think of the teams that are left. Michigan and obviously Cincinnati, Oklahoma State. I mean, Oklahoma State, what do you talk about with them? You talk about their defense as well, right? And Cincinnati, you talk about the offensive side of the ball, though their defense can play well at times. I think Georgia, by far and away, has the best defense, though. It's so odd to talk Big Ten and defense, but Oklahoma State's defense has really, really been playing well. So I've been impressed with that. But right now, I don't see, and it can happen. We know it can happen. I just don't see anybody, though, beating Georgia.
How will you be spending this weekend? It's the first Saturday since September that you haven't had to be on the road calling a game.
I'm actually going to be going back to Connecticut for, how about this? It's been in the makings for a couple of years because COVID has knocked the concert out. Hall & Oates concert. So for you young people out there, go ahead and Google them. Heck of a duo. They've been around a long time. And finally, that concert is Friday night. So I'm going to go, me and my wife are going to go with some friends to that Friday night and then get back where I need to be for Saturday and all the championship games.
Putting a dent on the old couch, huh? Watching some games.
Oh, yeah. Good snacks, good drink, and that TV is going to get worn out, just like it's Thanksgiving Day all over again.
That's awesome. Good stuff. Mike, enjoy the weekend. Enjoy Hall & Oates. I'm not that young, okay? I know who Hall & Oates is. Okay? Nice try. Very good. Enjoy the weekend, Mike. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right, thanks.
All right, we're back on Friday with Michael Felder. We'll do a little Felder Friday here on CSN. So long, everybody.